Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hello, my friends. This episode is dropping just after the Thanksgiving holiday. And for me, in my life, that is going to mark the beginning of a rapid fire series of holidays and birthdays and excitement and also some stress around all the different events and, of course, the food that's going to be served for the next probably 6 weeks. I'm actually turning 40 on the 2nd, and this is kind of a big deal. And I'm going to be going to a fun girls' trip to celebrate my 40th birthday. And for me, I just look at it as a very darn good reason to stop and enjoy what all the wonderful things that I have to be thankful for in my life. So there's a lot of Thanksgiving going on for me in my life right now. And I hope for you that your Thanksgiving, if you're in the U.S., was full of warm connection and gathering with the people that you love and just stopping to feel that gratitude for the things in your life that you want to appreciate because it feels good. And for a lot of us, Thanksgiving is a time of overindulgence, okay? So we just got through round one of the onslaught of holiday feasts. Thanksgiving is a holiday that's centered around indulgence. So understandably, this is going to be an obstacle for people who are trying to keep their blood sugars under control. So how did it go for you? Have you thrown in the towel and surrendered to the onslaught of celebratory binging going on all around you until we finally emerge into the new year, right? Many of us fall victim to this all or nothing kind of thinking. But let's look at what it might look like to choose something different. So first, I want you to think about this. How do you want to feel going into the new year? Because you have a choice. None of this is happening to you, my friend. I know it might sound harsh, but I'm offering you a gift. A choice. That's where our power always lies, is in our decisions. We all want to have the ability to choose what we want. But first, you have to know what you want, and then you have to choose. You have to make a decision. If you don't, and I love thinking of this because I think it's a powerful way to look at it. If you don't make a decision, you're actually deciding to let it just fall apart by default. Now, for a lot of us, these events of around the holidays lead to a lot of social overeating. And for some of us, this is a type of overeating where we're eating more food than our body really needs for fuel and nutrition. That's what I mean when I say overeating. But a lot of us tend to do this when we gather, when we celebrate, when we're with our friends and family, and we're doing this very in a social setting. And for many of us, that's because celebrating and connecting over food is all we know how to do. It's how we were raised. So we have to retrain our brain to get pleasure from other things besides food. You know this is you if you usually do fine on your own in your normal environment day to day, but that things seem to just bust loose when you get around other people. And it sounds sort of like, I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be the odd one out. I don't want to miss out. We're having a good time. Let's celebrate. And it feels good. It feels happy and celebratory and indulgent. But it's usually followed by regret and remorse about how much you ate and how that impacted how you feel today, how your blood sugars are looking. And so the way that I explain or teach to deal with this kind of overeating is pretty different from the other kinds of overeating that are out there. And for many of us, we have many different ways we overeat, like to cover up stress, because of habit, and just like our routines. There are lots of ways we overeat, but this is a kind of unique one in that we're eating for the reason of celebrating and gathering and connecting with our loved ones. And so in this setting, I want to offer that you're using food as the main focus of the pleasure. Instead of making food the main source of pleasure, you could focus your mind instead on what you're celebrating, like what the reason is for the gathering or for the event. And for the holidays, that's going to be very clear what the reasons are. I want you to focus your mind on the people that you're gathering with and the conversation that's happening, how much you're enjoying all of that connection, the laughter, the fun, the memories that you're sharing. And I want you to focus your mind on just feeling gratitude for that in the moment, because that's pleasurable and it can overtake or replace the type of pleasure you're used to getting from the food. And this is a skill. It's something that many of us have never done with intention before. And that's okay, because you can learn how to stop eating or overeating socially. And this is just a strategy to do that. And so as you go into your next social event or your gathering in this holiday season, I want you to explore that and just try it out to see if you can distract your mind from using food as the main source of pleasure to instead enjoying all of the conversation, all of the company, and the connection and fun and laughter that comes from gathering with people that you love. Now, the next thing I want to help you do is to pay attention to the thinking that you might be having around food in this holiday season. So recognize this basic fact, right? Thanksgiving is just one meal. Christmas dinner is just one meal. You can focus on this fact and reject how our food culture tries to blow it up into weeks of excuses to eat and drink ourselves into oblivion. I'm talking about scarcity mindset here. Does this sound familiar? But it's Christmas, or it's Hanukkah, or this is the only time I'm going to get to have this special treat or drink. But this is my favorite. If I don't eat it now, then I have to wait till next year. Do you see what I'm talking about here? Those sneaky thoughts. I call them sometimes thought errors. These kinds of thoughts will create scarcity and urgency for you. And what do we do when we feel this way? Well, we eat usually against our better judgment. So let's stop and just question that thinking. Is it really true that you can't have this or that special treat whenever you really want it? I mean, can't you actually have what it is you truly want anytime you want it? Did you dream all year long about this very treat that's in front of you? Or are you just thinking of it right now when it's in front of you? And if you ate this every single Christmas season, how many times would you enjoy this treat into the future? Like dozens of times. Is that enough for you? Call these thoughts out and start challenging them. But first, you have to see them, right? That's what I mean when I say pay attention to your thinking. When you see the thoughts and you start to question them, you neutralize the compulsion that drives you to take up offer after offer for holiday treats. Here's another common scenario that gets many of us to repeatedly eat food we will later regret. If I don't have some, they might get offended. Okay, this is that worrying about other people getting offended that you didn't try some of their special holiday food. Or maybe, of course I have to eat my grandma, mom, whoever it is, gifted baker in your family. of course I have to eat my grandma's delicious Christmas treat. She'll be so disappointed if I don't have some. Or they have worked so hard to make this beautiful meal. Like, of course I have to try some of it. So these are easily justifiable ways for people to go ahead and partake and overeat in these situations, right? They sound very convincing. But I want to offer you, if you don't want to let your mind talk you into overeating this way, I want to offer you two different ways to think about this situation, okay? First of all, you can question whether or not your grandma or your loved one that's fixing a special holiday treat is going to actually be offended, okay? By reminding yourself that no friend or family member who loves you really wants you to make yourself sick, okay? And the second way I want you to think about this is, even if they did feel hurt or offended, I want you to just learn how to accept that sometimes people are going to choose to be offended and that you don't have to take responsibility for that. This sounds like matching that thought process with something like, I'm willing to take care of myself even if others don't understand sometimes. You know, like, it's okay if they don't get it, but I've got to do me. Like, I've got to take care of myself. Most of the time, it's really just your brain that wants you to just eat it, just eat it, just eat it, right? Eat it already. And it offers us any argument to convince us in the moment to go ahead and seek that instant gratification. It's how our brains are wired, okay? So letting your brain just persuade you, unsupervised, unchecked, can get the best of you time after time. And so what I'm inviting you to do is to start paying attention to the thought processes that your brain uses over and over again to convince you that you should just eat it right now. Okay, the second way I want to address this problem of overindulgence throughout the holiday season is to explain the importance to you of why you need to make a plan, okay? I love this quote, a goal without a plan is just a wish. I actually have a whole blog post entitled with that. And lately, I've been putting this in motion because I've been following a very basic plan for myself, which doesn't include sweets. For weeks now, I haven't indulged in anything that's sweet, except for fruit, okay? And that's been very minimal. So I've noticed my brain trying to talk me into eating sweets because it's been something I've allowed in my diet daily, you know, like Lily's chocolate or something that is relatively low in sugar but still contains some sugar and is very pleasurable for my brain to experience, okay? And so what I notice is that when I don't have a plan, I am open to a lot of drama in my mind. There's a lot of chatter and a lot of decision making that's trying to be made around whether or not I should just eat whatever it is that's popped up in front of me unexpectedly. Because think about this, if your life is anything like mine, which in ways I bet it is, maybe you don't have six kids in your house, but you probably are faced with the decision of whether or not you should eat something that's not going to move you towards your goals constantly throughout your day. Right? I could walk out into my kitchen right now and see five or six things that are right there out in plain sight that are asking my brain to just eat them. And recently, I noticed that I loved this thought that popped into my mind. It's now an adopted belief because I keep thinking it over and over again. And a belief is just a thought you've thought over and over again. And this thought is, I am not the kind of person who sees and eats. I'm the kind of person who plans and eats. That's who I am. And I love sharing that with you because it's such a powerful way to remind your brain that you're not open to being confronted with this decision constantly to over and over decide that you're not going to eat this thing that's just popped up in front of you unexpectedly. Because if you don't even have a plan, God help you in trying to remove the things from your diet that are definitely stopping you from reaching your goal, because they're going to be constantly coming up in your environment and you're going to have to exercise a lot of decision making about whether or not to eat it. When you have a plan, when you decide ahead of time what you will eat, whether it's your day-to-day food plan or even like just for one event, like a holiday party, when you make that plan, you stop allowing yourself to be open to making decisions in the moment, right? When you're faced with urges and temptations, because when you are open to that, you get decision fatigue. Eventually, your brain finds a way to talk you into something that you're later going to regret. So you can do this every day. Like you can make a plan every day, which is what I do with my clients. Or you can plan ahead for just special events or even just this holiday season, this thing we're focusing on right now in this moment. You want to be really specific about what you're going to allow. Remember to think about this as a choice. No one is making you do anything. When you stop telling yourself that you can't have this or you can't have that, you don't need to eat behind your own back. Now, if you're going to allow dessert and drinks, but you don't know what is going to be served at this event that you're thinking about, just commit to having a specific number of servings of dessert or a specific number of drinks, okay? And when you're really clear about what you are and you're not going to have, you don't leave room open in your mind for all that drama and that waffling and justification about whether you should have this or that. Just decide ahead of time. And that shuts down all of the drama and that mind chatter and all of that fatiguing with the decision making. Just commit to what you decided ahead of time. And I recommend that you write it down. Because when you write it down, it becomes something that is real and exists outside of you. It's a commitment that's outside of your mind and it makes it matter more. Make sure you feel pretty confident that your plan is one you can stick to. It needs to be a usable plan, not wishful or perfect. Okay, when you're too idealistic in your expectation of yourself, you can get caught up in the impossibility of it. So don't do that to yourself. Set yourself up for success by deciding on a plan that feels pretty easy to stick to. Okay, and then the last thing I want to teach you in this podcast is that you must commit to not beating yourself up and giving up every time you go off your plan. I know this might sound shocking to you, but sometimes people don't follow their plans, especially when there's, you know, alcohol involved. But the ones that succeed over time, they never use this as evidence against themselves that they can't do it. Right? I like to think of it this way. You're either learning or you're succeeding. You must not qualify your missteps as a failure and a reason to quit. This is what your brain will tell you to do. See, your brain wants you to go back to comfort. It wants you to go back to doing what was easy and what felt good because change is uncomfortable. But when you beat yourself up mentally for going off your plan, you experience regret, shame, doubt, and we avoid negative emotion as humans. It's how we're wired. So we decide to quit for relief from that process of, you know, committing and then failing and then beating yourself up. We quit because we think we can't do it and it just feels so bad. When you're late to work on Monday, you don't take the rest of the week off, do you? You just resolve to be on time the next day. You might think, I need to clean the snow off my car 10 minutes earlier than usual, or that route is under construction, so I'm not going to go that way tomorrow. This is how I want you to think about an eating plan that didn't go according to plan. look at it as a problem-solving exercise. Just be calm and collected. Skip the self-judgment, since there is no upside to that ever. And just answer these questions, like, what went wrong? What can I do differently next time so it goes well? And this is how you avoid letting one donut at the coffee station turn into a full-on catastrophe that lasts until you can't stand yourself anymore. The only reason you ever quit or ever give up on yourself is because of the thoughts that you're having in your brain. And so I want you to begin to watch your brain in action and how it argues for you to go off your plan, to not make a plan at all. When you go off your plan, you beat yourself up and then your brain convinces you that you shouldn't even try, right? You should just quit. This is all happening in your mind as a result of your thought process. And what I want to invite you to do is to become very aware of what it's saying to you so that you can begin to question it and change the way you think about it and get a different outcome. So my question for you, or my series of questions for you about this topic, are: how does your brain talk you into instant gratification, especially during this time, the holidays, right? Because sometimes that argument can be different than what's happening day to day. And when you find out, when you write down the way your brain will trick you into just eating it, I want you to write down what you want to say instead, what you want to think instead of what your brain is telling you is true in that moment. And then I want you to come up with your plan for this holiday season. How do you want it to go? And just be very intentional. Write a plan down and commit to that plan, and then commit to not beating yourself up when it doesn't go perfectly, okay? All right, so I'm going to share with you a recipe that I think will be, for some of you, really timely because it's holidays, right? This is a recipe called the best keto cheesecake recipe. So I only share recipes that I've tried before, and this is an amazing recipe. Basically, cheesecake is keto except for the sugar in it, okay? And then the sugar in the crust. And so this recipe that I'm going to link to in the show notes tastes amazing. You're really just going to switch out the sugar, the real sugar, for a sugar alternative. And the one that I used that was amazing was allulose. I should probably do a podcast just about artificial sweeteners and non-nutritive sweeteners, naturally occurring non-calorie sweeteners, because there's so many now on the market. And a lot of people have, you know, these umbrella opinions about artificial sweeteners. And I have to say, I haven't met a single person that's tried every single one out there, and that there might be one like monk fruit or allulose or erythritol that is not artificial, is a naturally occurring sweetener that does the trick for you, because it can be a game changer. So allulose is a sweetener that tastes just like sugar and has the same consistency as sugar. It's about a 70% as sweet as real table sugar. But for me, it tasted really, really good, but it gave me a little bit of GI discomfort. And so I don't know if I will make it again using allulose. Probably not. I'd probably try something like erythritol next time or monk fruit. Anyhow, I invite you to check out this recipe, because you can even give it to people who wouldn't otherwise know it was a keto cheesecake, and they would enjoy it because it really is that good. All right. So I am so happy I got a chance to slip this in before the holidays got in full swing. We just had Thanksgiving if you're in the US. And so now you've got a little bit of perspective and awareness to go into this season with, so that you don't fall victim to all or nothing thinking, to scarcity thinking, to beating yourself up, or going without any kind of plan and just hoping it goes well. Because I really do believe that it's possible to get through the holidays and still reverse your diabetes and still lose the weight. It is possible to do, but it does take a different way of thinking. That is the key. All right, I will see you guys next week. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownlee.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.